approximately 40 million Americans. Listen, 40 million Americans, or 18% of the population, suffer from anxiety disorders. That's a mess of people. You know, some estimates suggest that about 1 in 3 Americans will experience, 1 in 3, will experience an anxiety disorder at some point in their life. That's like, wow. Anxiety disorders are more common in women than they are men. And this surprised me. Rates of anxiety are highest among younger adults, aged 18 to 29. Isn't that something? It seems to me that I hear more and more of people that are having panic attacks or anxiety attacks. Have you heard people saying that you know, so-and-so had an anxiety attack, or they didn't come to this because they were... People are anxious. People are worried all around us. Do you agree with that? And although we may not suffer from an anxiety disorder that's been diagnosed, I think that every one of us at some times struggle at least a little bit with worry. Y'all agree with that? You know, the Bible, God in His Word, His love letter to us, has a solution to our worry. You know, I thought about preaching like on revival and keeping those fires going, and God wouldn't let me. And I thought about other topics, you know, that would be really, you know, like revival-ish and all that, and God wouldn't let me. So God said, hey, you're preaching. I did not hear an audible voice, but through the direction of God and through the Holy Spirit, it's like, you're preaching in Philippians, so keep on going in Philippians, okay? And I really believe that these two verses are two of the most practical verses in the whole Bible. Did you hear me? These are two of some of the most practical verses in all of the Bible. Let me ask you, what do you struggle with about in the area of worry? Don't answer out loud. But what makes you struggle or worry? Because there's lots of things that can kind of stir us up a little bit to worry, right? Now, we don't have to worry, and God has the solution in His book. Some people worry about having enough money. Some people worry about their kids and their grandkids, or maybe their great-grandkids, right? Some people worry about their health. Some people worry about their earthly future or what tomorrow may hold. They worry about the direction of our country. They worry about our economy. They worry about another pandemic. They worry about foreign attacks or terrorist attacks. They worry about their jobs. They worry about their job security. Some of you have already spent a little bit of time worrying about Thanksgiving dinner. And some of you, like, we're getting together with our family, you know, and I love most of them, and most of them are sweet, but there's a few of them that really try my patience. And you're like, I'm a little bit worried about that. Some people are worried. This seems like to me to be a big one, that you're so worried because you're so far behind and you have so much to do, you worry about it. Like, how in the world is that going to get done? It's really possible to worry about anything. And some people are so much worriers that if there's not something legitimate, I mean, so to speak, they make things up almost. It's like, I think I'm going to worry about that. Well, how come? I don't know. I didn't have anything else to worry about. It's kind of goofy. But is that the way we should live as children of God? As a saint of God, as one who is called apart because we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, should we be worried about stuff? I've always heard it said, worry is the advance price we pay for things that never come to pass. Worry is the advance price that we pay for things that never happen. And can I tell you that worry is sin? It distracts us from what's most important. Now, I know we Christians, we like to kind of put worry as one of those, well, we all do it, so it must be okay. Or it's no big, I'm telling you, worry can be horrible in the life of a Christian. It can. It can handicap you. It can cripple you. It can really make you a whole lot less effective in your service to God than what God intended for your life. Because you worry. And let me tell you, we're going to address this a little bit. Since Thanksgiving is Thursday, you cannot be as thankful as you should be if you're worried. Does that make sense? We can't be all, we're just thinking about that. But really, we ought to say, God, you got this. And I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. And really, Thanksgiving ought to be every single day of our life. We know Jesus. We know why we're here. We have peace. We have security. We have purpose. And believe me, I know our future if we know Jesus as Savior. And it's good. So we ought to be grateful every day. I've entitled the message today, The Worry-Free Life. The Worry-Free Life. How to have your best Thanksgiving ever. How did that do, tying it back in with Thanksgiving? The Worry-Free Life. How to have your best Thanksgiving ever. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We've gone through, we're not done yet, but we've gone through Philippians verse by verse, talking about this book, this wonderful book of joy, written by Paul under house arrest in Rome. He's not even sure if he's going to live, but he's sharing with this church, and he's very endeared. He's very close to this church. And he says, this is the way to have joy in your heart and life. This is the way to serve God. Gives all kinds of practical applications, of which I don't believe any are more practical than verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Wow. Let your requests be made known unto God. And notice, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, practical, practical. Let me tell you, if you're listening, if you're awake today, guess what? God has a word for you that will help you every single day of your life. Can I go a little bit further? This can help you every single hour of your life. Every single minute of your life. Now, I know, some people, their personality is such, and God has gifted them, that really they don't worry. Praise the Lord. But there are people that really struggle, and there's a whole bunch of us right in the middle. I mean, we don't worry continuously, but every once in a while something hits us upside the head, and we're like, I'm going to worry about that for a while. But what's the solution to the worry in our life? Here it is. First of all, point number one. The worry-free life. How to have your best Thanksgiving ever. The command not to worry. You know, the Bible is full of commands, not helpful suggestions. Amen? Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't have to follow that one. We don't have to follow that one. No, I'm not going to. I mean, these aren't just helpful suggestions. These are commands recorded in the Word of God. And if God says it, you know what? That's good enough. I believe it. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. You know what that's saying? Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Now, do you think nothing or anything, do you think there's anything that's excluded from that? It's like, well, God understands me worrying about that because that's such a big deal. No, if I'm understanding that verse right, we're not supposed to worry about one single solitary thing. Don't worry about anything. Now, I think there might be a clue to that right back. I never had really thought of it that way. But if you look back at verse 5, they'll not be on the monitor, but it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then it says, don't worry about anything. You know, the Lord, it's not only talking about the Lord's return, I believe, is at hand, but it's talking about the Lord is just right there. Isn't he one that wants to help us all the time? Isn't he a constant help and companion? Isn't the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, which is part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity? Didn't Jesus call the Holy Spirit our comforter? He's right there. He's not only coming back, but he's right there. And he says, don't worry about anything. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The latter part of that verse says, for he has said, Jesus, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Wow. That's good stuff. But it is a command. It is a command. Be careful for nothing. Do not worry about anything. Now, to hear that we're not supposed to worry about anything kind of stretches us, doesn't it? Because we've almost accepted that it's okay to worry about certain things. Now, certain things God can handle. Now, we never say this, but in our little brain as it clicks, and I do emphasize the word little, and I said our brains, we sometimes like, well, God can handle that, but now this is a big one. So I better step in there. I better worry. I better fret. I better be anxious. No, there's never a time to worry about any situation in life. Now, I'm not standing up here and say, I got this all down pat, because I don't. There's times that I worry. There is. I'm not, my family will back me up on this. I'm typically not a worrier. I'm not a worry wart. But there are times that something's on my brain and I worry about it. God's word commands me not to worry. So when we do, if God tells us to do something in his word or not to do something in his word, and we do it or don't do it according to opposite of what scripture says, would you call that sin? Yeah, I think so. We tend to classify sins into different categories, put some sins into a category of minimal importance, even excuse it away. Everyone worries, or it's just part of the human nature. That's not acceptable. You can do that, but you'll continue to settle for the second best. Worry is a sin. It's a thief of everything that is good. Now, I like, one of my favorite pies are pecan pies, but pecan chocolate pies. Cracker Barrel, I think, turned me onto this originally. The pie that has pecans, but it's got chocolate in there too. Now, I like pecan pie fine, but you put chocolate in it, it's even better. But what if I had pecan chocolate pie and I'm about ready to eat it, but then someone comes up with the bright idea to put a dill pickle with all the juice on top of that? For me, it would ruin the whole thing. Would it ruin the whole thing for you? That's what worry does. Worry does. Again, our present is great right now. It's good, right? We may be going through things, but we have a God who can handle it, a God who's always with us. We don't have to worry about it, and our future is even brighter. But if we let worry come in, it's like putting dill pickle juice and dill pickles on top of this chocolate pecan pie. It ruins it. Now, if you want to go around and be miserable, and believe me, I think I've run across people that love being miserable. I don't get it. But if you want to be miserable, just be miserable, okay? Just don't bring me down, all right? Because I don't choose to be miserable. The worry-free life. First of all, the command not to worry. Second, the eraser of worry or the preventer of worry. Notice, it says, but, be careful for nothing, but, instead of worrying, we're supposed to do this other stuff. And look what it says. Everything, in everything, in everything. Did I say everything? In everything. We're supposed to pray to God about everything, right? It says in everything, by prayer. That's the general term for prayer. In everything, go to God in prayer. And you won't worry. In everything, or you shouldn't. It's like when you pray, you're saying, God, you got this. God, I'm turning it over to you. And as we say many times, typically our problem is, we think we're turning it over to God. And for the moment, we do. But then we come to the altar and say, God, it's yours. And then we get up and I forgot something. And you take the worry back with you. Really, what we have to learn to do is say, God, you got it. I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not going to stress over it because we turned it over to him in prayer, the general term. And then it says, by supplication, in prayer and supplication. Supplication is praying very specifically about your situation. Whatever's causing you to worry or fret or to have sleepless nights or to wake up early or whatever, turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, let me just tell you. And he's not intimidated with how we feel. You can tell God how you feel. You can even say, God, I don't understand it. That's fine. God's not intimidated by that. Don't shake your fist at God and threaten God or anything like that. But humanly, asking God, God, I don't understand it. Can you show me what's going on here? Can you take care of it specifically? Can you take care of it in this way, God? That's supplication. So you go to God in prayer. You go to him specifically in prayer. But notice here it is. It says, with thanksgiving. You know, when you go to him, you got to remember what kind of God he is. He's a good God. He's for us, right? He's always for us. He is on our side. He has done so many good things. So when you go to God in everything, you pray specifically, and you start thinking in your brain, boy, what has God done for me? Well, let me think about it. He's given me a family. He's given me health. I'm still alive. I'm still in this world. I know Jesus. I know where I'm going to be. He has allowed me to help in the kids' ministry or in the kids' crusade up here. He's allowed me to do this, right? He's given me, I got clothes on. That's good. I'm not hungry. That's good. I'm a little hungry now, I have to admit. But it's not because I'm lacking food. It's just because we're in church and can't eat yet. I'll let you out by two, no problem. But really, when you go to God in prayer generally, say, Lord, I got this problem. I'm turning it over to you. And you say, Lord, this is what I'd like to see happen specifically. And then you start thanking God for all the good things. You know what that does? That chips away at the worry too. Because you realize how good God is. And he is a good God. And he's here to help me, not harm me. And he's going to turn whatever it is into something good. Right? So it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto who? God. You know, a lot of times we let all of our requests be known to our friends and our family, and we tell them, and there's nothing wrong with consulting friends and family, but we ought to consult God first and foremost, don't you think? And you know what? It's not necessarily. I've always thought of these verses as reactionary. You know, like, okay, I'm starting to worry. Okay, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray specific. I'm going to thank God. I'm praying it to him. I'm leaving it there, and that worry's going to zip. But really, I think we're doing it a little bit of injustice by saying that exclusively. That absolutely works. But I believe if we spend time with God sincerely in quiet time, praying and seeking God's will, listening to God's voice in his word on a regular basis, the worry just won't show up. Do you hear what I'm saying? It doesn't say, well, when I worry, I'm going to do this. It's like, don't worry, and this is what you need to do. So we could do a little preventative maintenance too, but there'll still be those things that pop in and like, oh, I'm going to worry for it. No, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to pray generally. I'm going to pray specifically. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to turn it over to him because he's such a good God. Wow. Isn't that practical? Let me take a survey in case you're falling asleep. Let me take a survey. How many of you ever worry? Okay. Now, one of two things. You're either asleep, you're lying, or something. I don't know. All of us worry. I mean, I really don't know anybody that doesn't occasionally worry just a little bit. It's like, boom. It's important. These verses, very practical. What do? When that worry creeps up, turn it over to God. Even better, before it starts to worry, pray. Pray specifically. Go to God. Thank God and say, God, my whole life's turned over to you. So nothing's going to take you by surprise. A daily quiet time, talking to God more, listening to God from the Word of God can prevent worry even in the first place. Do you remember in school? I remember this more in elementary and probably middle school. You know the erasers? You know, you have a pencil with an eraser on it. But that wasn't always good enough. So they put another eraser on top of that, right? And then they started making these great, great big erasers, right? And sometimes, believe me, I needed it. Like, let's erase the whole page. It's almost all wrong, right? Do you know, the way to erase worry is by turning it over to God and not picking it back up? I'm thankful for that. The eraser or the preventer of worry is turning it over to God. Praying specifically, thanking God, and letting your request be known unto God. Point number three, last point, the alternative to worry. The alternative to worry. You say, some people are so engrossed with worry that they don't even realize there's another way to live. What is the alternative to worry? It's peace. Peace. It's the peace of God. In Galatians chapter 5, that's what it says, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God, and the peace of God. Wow. Peace of God. It comes from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you should be helping you bear fruit, and one of the fruit is peace. That calmness. I mean, really, you think about how piddly and how much little power we have compared to God. There's no need to worry. We probably can't do anything about it anyway. So why not turn it over to the God of the universe who can do everything? He can do anything. There's nothing too big for God. And to say, here it is, God, I'm turning it over to you. When we do that, it says the peace of God. The peace of God. And it goes on to say, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. You know, we can't understand sometimes. You know, you've seen people that are going through, I mean, they're going through horrible things. And it's like boom, 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 several things at one time. And you look at them and they're like, they appear to be happy. They appear to be joyful. Do you know what that is? That's the peace of God that passes understanding. You've been there. You've lost loved ones. And you're like, I don't quite understand this. I don't quite understand this. But guess what? It's the peace of God. It's supernatural. It passes our understanding. We can't explain it away. We can't explain how it happened. But God says, here's some peace. Boom. The peace of God which passes understanding. When Jesus was in this world, John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Maybe we could say worried, fretting, discouraged. Neither let it be afraid. You see, the Lord gives us that peace if we'll let him. We can't explain it. We say, I don't know, Lord, why I'm going through this. Lord, this hurts a lot, but you got it under control when you turn it over to him. Wow. It says, that peace shall keep your hearts and minds. Now, it's all about keeping your hearts and minds. I believe it's speaking specifically, it'll keep our emotions under control. There's nothing wrong with being emotional, but it'll guard our emotions, our hearts. It'll guard our thoughts. That will not preoccupy every single minute of every waking day because we're so worried. But the peace will settle and say, you don't need to worry. And the word keep is the word guard or garrison. And I can just picture a soldier. Can't you? Guarding something, you know, weapon and ready. And God says, I'll do that to your heart and to your mind if you turn it over to me. I'll give you that peace. And you can just be cool, calm, and collected because God is in control. And you've turned it over to him. It says it will keep your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. It's only because of our relationship with Jesus. It's only through Christ Jesus. It's all about our relationship with Jesus. I'm a child of the Father with Jesus as my best friend. Let me say that again, and if you're alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic, you figure out what you need to say there. I'm a child of the Father with Jesus as my best friend. Amen. All right, about lost my voice there. You know, the alternative to worry is peace. it's a whole lot funner to live in peace than it is to live in worry. You know, I've never been important enough to have a security or a bodyguard in life. I mean, just look at this physical specimen. Would anybody mess with me? I'm joking. I tell people I used to play football. Now I look more like a football, you know, from the side. But really, I used to. But the peace of God is my spiritual security guard, if you will. And I choose whether I'm going to let God handle the situation and give me that security guard over my mind and my heart and my emotions and my thoughts, or whether I'm going to say, no, I'd rather just hold on to it myself and be miserable and worry and fret. I tell you what, we have a good God, and He only wants the best for us. Today we've talked about the worry-free life, how to have your best Thanksgiving ever, and that's really true. If you're a worrier and you're bound up with all that worry, it's bondage. Just let that worry go as a child of God and say, God, you got this. Pray about it. Pray specifically about it. Thank God for all that He's done. And just leave it in the hands of the Lord. And if you do that and you've not been doing that, you will have a great Thanksgiving. It's hard to be worried and thankful at the same time. We looked at the command not to worry. It's a command, not a suggestion. Number two, the eraser or preventer of worry. We looked at the steps, praying specifically, thanking God, turning it over to Him. And lastly, we looked at the alternative to worry, peace. And peace is a whole lot better. Can I tell you that I believe the devil loves it? I mean, absolutely loves it whenever we worry, whenever we fret. Whether we have minor worry bouts, or whether we have major anxiety and panic attacks, you know what? God can give us that peace. In a preventative way, by spending time in the Word, being serious about God. Say, God, what do you have for me today? And Lord, I want to tell you some things that's on the horizon or right now in my life, and I want you to handle them. I'm going to turn them over to you preventatively, and that way you won't even have the worry to deal with. But if worry creeps up at some point, you can turn it over to God right then and there and say, God, I want that peace. The devil loves it whenever we worry. We get off target. We get off of stride. We get off of our mission for God. And when worry tries to creep into our thoughts and emotions, let me tell you, this week, if that happens, why not immediately go to God in prayer? Why not immediately pray specifically for your situation? Why not immediately begin to thank God for all the good things that He's done? And then why not automatically ask God for the help that you need? You know, as many things in the Christian life, whether to worry or whether to have peace is a choice. We choose it, really. Now, I know we live part of this world. Again, I'm not by any means standing up here saying, I got this all down pat. I never worry. I've already admitted I worry sometimes. I'm not the biggest worry. I don't have panic and worry attacks, but I'm capable of worrying. But you know what? It's a choice whether I'm going to let that worry continue or I'm going to kick that worry out of my life. Because of God's power. If you choose God's peace over worry, you can indeed have the best Thanksgiving ever. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're born again, you've never trusted Jesus, you may say, I know, I'm not saved. Guess what? The good news is the door is still open to salvation. In this age of grace, you can come forward and mean it from your heart. You can trust Jesus today. When you leave this, you can say, I know. We leave this place, you can say, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. And God, because of that Holy Spirit, will give you that same peace as a child of God, as a fruit of the Spirit. There's a whole lot of people that are worrying, having anxiety about things. I'm talking about lost people, and we're like, hey, I know the answer. They don't know which direction to go. They're like a train out of control. And you say, I got the answer. I got the answer. It's Jesus. Trust Jesus as your Savior. He'll give you that peace that you're looking for. So if you're here today and you're not saved, or if you're not even sure you're saved, my goodness, what are you waiting on? Your heart could stop. I'm not a drama king, but your heart could stop in the next 5 minutes. and you're in eternity, and you cannot reverse your eternity. It is sealed when you breathe your last, either heaven or hell. So if you're not sure, folks, I mean it. Out of love and compassion for your soul, when we sing here in a moment, I'm going to be standing down here. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many churches you've been a member of. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many good works you've done. If you don't know Jesus, or if you're not sure you know Jesus, today's the day. And you say, how do I know God's speaking to my heart? How do I know? Well, if you feel this real unrest in your soul right now, it's not going to be fire going up and down the aisles. It's not going to be a bolt of lightning. God is working on your heart. If you're here today and you're lost, probably God's working on your heart. It's kind of like that uneasiness in your soul. Like, I need to do something. I need to do something. That's the Holy Spirit. Even as a Christian, if God's working on your heart today, that's the chastening of the Holy Spirit. You know Jesus, but you need to get right. Today's the day. That altar is open. You don't have to talk to the preacher, but you definitely need to talk to God. And if God has spoken to your heart in this area of worry, you say, preacher, I try not to worry, but I still do. Well, come to the altar and say, God, give me the strength not to worry. I'm turning it over to you. You can name names. You can name situations to God. And guess what? If you let him, he'll take that worry away and say, here, instead of worry, have some peace, would you? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two wonderfully practical verses in Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, not to be worriers, but Lord, to be people of peace, turning it over to you completely. Lord, in a preventative way, by reading your word and praying and being in close fellowship with you. But Lord, when that worry maybe out of the blue hits us, Lord, we still turn it to you and pray to you and pray specifically and thank you for being the great God that you are and say, here it is, you take it. I'm not grabbing it anymore. It's yours, God. Give us that peace. If there's anyone here today who says, I'm a Christian, but I'm not doing what God wants me to do, well, today's the best day in the world to come forward and say, God, I'm turning it over to you. I'm going to get back on the team. I'm going to get back on the front line. You never were lost, but you're just a backslidden. You're just backslidden and away from God. Come to the altar, cry out to God and say, God, forgive me. I want to be in close fellowship with you. And if you're here today and say, I'm not sure I'm saved, or you say, I know I'm not saved, today's the day. Come down and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. Will you listen to God today? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the clarity of your word, the relevance of your word, the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts and minds today. Help us, Lord, to make the decisions you want us to make. Lord, it's a choice to be saved and trust Jesus. It's a choice to worry and hold it all ourselves or to turn it over to you. Lord, help us to choose to turn it over to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.